God is so good. God is so good. Heavenly Father, let your words come forth through my lips, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, just to reveal it the way that will please you, Lord God, to bring you all the glory, oh, Lord God. For we are here to see your glory. In Jesus' name. All right, so as y'all know, it's, you know, this last year and a half has been, it's been a test because I miss you guys. I really do. I love you all. But the Lord is still trying to keep us connected. Even through, I try to listen to the word, the podcast, and I try to keep up with all the emails that Pastor Mike sent me. So, you know, but it's still, you know, being in the house is just something different, you know, that. So I'm grateful for y'all all. But the Lord, I'm here today because the Lord gave me something. I came to service Wednesday, and it's funny. That makes it even more funny. Thursday morning, you know, the pastor and them, they like to go to Shoney's and stuff, you know. So I think they left anointing there. Because Thursday morning, I just was like, oh, I'm going to stop by Shoney's and grab some breakfast before I go to work. So I got up a little earlier. And I got my breakfast. And on the way to the car, all of a sudden, like, the Spirit just had stuff coming out of my mouth. I started ministering. The first thing he told me is that the authority is already in you. And then I proceeded to just minister as if I was ministering to people. And it came out, and I was like, and for a good 15 minutes, it was just flowing. And I said, okay, I need to write this down, Lord. So I got to work, and it's like, all right, I need to take another 15, 20 minutes to write this thing down. And so I tried to write as much as I could. And so I'm going to start off by reading that, and then I'm going to give the just a testimony of how God keeps us so connected. So basically, the title of this message, if I'm going to give it a message, it says, "For your glory, we give our authority." And it's almost like Miss Michelle, she always say that Pastor Jerry would say, "Is it good or is it God?" And we have to get to a place where we're living to please God. And so the power of God is already in you. The authority is in you. The authority already works within your life. The problem into why we don't see it manifest the way it should is because we have not sat under the master long enough. See, we are like the prodigal son somewhat. Although we don't realize it, Christ has already given you authority. He shares it with you. He commands it in you. And he even has sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in you. Yet, sometimes we don't see it. The problem is, it's not active. Like the prodigal son, in Christ, we receive an inheritance of authority. But like the son, we leave home a little too early and before we're ready. We are ready to put our hands to it and use it the way we see fit. That's the good. See, we think we're doing something that God wants us to do. Just because you have it does not mean you are ready or meant to use it. See, when we try to use God's authority outside of God's perfect timing, we are stealing the glory from the Lord. Hear me when I say this. You become a thief to the very authority that has been given to you. Working in something before it has been released into you. And if we're trying to live like Christ, we got to know that Jesus did not want to do anything that did not bring glory to his Father. He did not want to rob his Father of his glory. Back in Luke chapter 2, 41 through 52, it says that when Christ stayed back in Jerusalem, his parents found him at the temple, listening, questioning, and even answering the teachers. What did his stressed out mother say to him when she saw him? He said to her, "Did you not know that I had to be about my Father's business?" He knew his calling and the authority he had, but scripture did not end there. It stated that Jesus went back with them and was subject and obedient to them. See, in verse 52, it says that Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man. Just because Jesus had the authority, he still allowed himself to be placed under subjection to his parents because that was the will of God for his life at that time. See, that was what pleased God for him to do. See, that we got to look at it like this, is that Jesus, although young and very wise and full of authority, his ministry hadn't begun yet. And it pleased God for him to sit under his parents, to grow in favor, to sit under the master long and let him grow in favor. Because when it was time, his ministry to come, it would open him up for the cross. He wasn't ready to go to cross as that little boy. See, the teachers, they marveled at just a young man's wisdom. But see, in God's perfect timing, the revelation of the Son of God will come forth, came forth. See, in God's perfect timing, Christ, the Christ was revealed. In God's perfect timing, Christ healed the sick. In God's perfect timing, Christ walked on water. In God's perfect timing, he ministered about being born again. In God's perfect timing, he spoke about the Holy Spirit, resurrection. And in God's perfect timing, he went to the cross. See, God receives his glory in his perfect timing, just like his perfect will. We talk about it. We talk about his will and living for his God's purpose. God has a perfect timing for everything in his, that goes on in us when we're born again. Christ spent time in subjection to God's presence and authority grew in him, doing only what he saw his father say and do. And when his father revealed his timing, life and power came out pouring in abundance. In God's timing, flesh had no victory. It has no victory. In God's timing, trials and tribulation has no power. Sin has no victory. Death has no victory. See, so when we look at our lives and we wonder why we're still struggling and fighting these things in the physical and the fleshly realm, we got to know that God has a perfect timing to send us help. See, in perfect timing, those financial blessings will come. And in God's perfect timing, he will perfect your healing. In God's perfect timing, he'll push back the enemy off of your children's lives. In God's perfect time, you will overcome the addiction. Your family member will overcome that addiction. In the perfect time, you will beat unto submission that old nature that keeps trying to raise its ugly head. See, we have to trust God knows and has perfectly calculated the perfect time to destroy self-reliance in our lives. His plan brings glory to his holy name. He will allow the enemy to make it look like he is gaining ground over your life, and he will flip what the enemy meant to destroy you with and use it to set you free. We are living examples of that in Christ. See, that thorn that's in your side, that has a purpose. God has a perfect timing for every pain that it causes. It is an opening. It is opening a heavenly door of Christ dependency in our lives. See, Moses was not allowed to enter into the promised land. But I believe when he looked over, he saw the glory of the Lord. See, he's seeing the promised land not just as a place, but where God is being glorified. See, the place of glory is where we live within Christ. In God's perfect timing, the Spirit reveals Christ to us more and more. It pleases him when we live within that perfect timing. And as we continue to seek and give him his glory, we can watch the outpouring of God's authority flowing through us. So God had gave me all of that morning. And I was just like, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Because, you know, when we look at our lives, we think that, you know, it has to be good. It has to be, I have to do this. I have to work. I have to do this with my hands, you know. But God's saying, am I leading you to do that right now? Is that going to bring me glory? Is that going to make you feel good about yourself? And so, you know, there's times where that old nature, like, you know, will rise his ugly head, or just these moments of just emotions would rise up in me just naturally. And I used to be like, Lord, why am I still dealing with these same things over and over? I've given it to you. Why is this still happening? And God said, I can. Matter of fact, before I go there, Miss Michelle ministered last week. And my grandma told me, she said, you need to listen to her. She said, I heard it was really good. She gave a testimony. So Wednesday night, I talked. Zai was running around. You know how he do. So I walked outside, and I saw Mr. Derek outside. And he just went on. He just started talking. We started talking. He was telling me about the testimony about how God just blessed him. He said he was at his wit's end, and he just couldn't, you know, he didn't know what to do. And God had already worked it out for him. And he said that they said he told him that, you know, you can't find God where you last looked for, or you last found him. He said you had, and Mr. Derek said it. He was like telling me I had to get to another place of faith. And I was just like, wow, you know, this is before I even wrote this, before I even heard anything about the thing. I didn't listen to the testimony, anything like this. So Thursday, I went back and, you know, later on in the day, I listened to Miss Michelle. She was giving the testimony, and I was just like, Lord. And she was talking about divine and driven purposes, and how it has to bring glory to God when we live our lives. And when God is doing it, when God is moving, we're walking and bringing him glory, and it has to be about his glory. And I was like, Lord, it's no coincidence that you told me about your glory today. Everything about your timing was meant to bring you glory. And I was like, thank you, Lord, for keeping me in the vein, because I was like, it just made me so more overjoyed and happy. So when I started thinking back about the things that I was dealing with, God was saying that I have not forgotten the things that you deal with. You want to get rid of it, but I want to deal with it. And so he says, when I let it come back up, it's only for me to work and to do show you that my power and my grace is sufficient in your life. So when these things come back up, I was like, oh, Lord, I don't want to deal with this thing no more. I'm tired of these emotions. I'm tired of these feelings. And the Lord is like, remember, everybody has a wilderness. And even I walk through a wilderness. And I heard a pastor say something like this before. And I was like, that God literally had, we talk about Israel today. And Israelites had walked 40 years around that mountain in that wilderness. And they failed. They were supposed to be the example. They failed. It's not a coincidence that Jesus was tempted for 40 nights, for 40 days. Like, he had to go into the wilderness for 40 days. He said, I didn't forget their failure. I'm not going to forget yours. And I was like, I'm just taking this all in, like, God. He says, look, I it's for my glory for you to go through these things. And it's so crazy, because when I looked at I was listening to the message, and Miss Michelle was, and one of the things she says was like, will you lay down your will for God's will? And I was like, he says, when you keep trying to get rid of it, or just try to just act like you're tired of it, you just keep trying to get rid of it, you don't trust my will. This has come back in your life for me to allow you to trust me more, for me to take you to that other realm of faith, that another level of faith. And so I was just accepting. I was like, Lord God, it's a reason when I see people go through health issues, or I see people go through financial issues, or when I see addiction, and he says all of that. He says, and Miss Michelle said that, Atabot said this, and which even more is that God uses the good and the bad in your life, and it's all for his glory. It's all for building you up into another place, to make you more like Christ, because Christ, he came to fulfill. He came to fulfill. So everything that we feel like we lost, everything that we feel like we failed in, he like, I'm your success. You live in me. I bring glory to the Father. So you bring glory through me. And so I'm just learning so much of it. And I had a dream, and the dream, and I'm going to share, and I'm going to kind of end at that. But God has a divine purpose. And I've been having this dream. It's mentally, like, it's just a mental dream that I've had. It's a place where I've always, it's like, it always takes me back to one of my old neighborhoods and same old room. And it's like almost the Lord is telling me this is where a lot of the things in your life originate from things that's familiar with you. And he says, I'm coming for him. And in my dreams, basically, I'm not going to go into too much details. It's somebody it's two people I'm always familiar with. It can change. It can be different people, but it's always the same scenario. And the person is like, one of the people are just doing stuff to antagonize me. And I'm just sitting there doing whatever I'm doing, just trying to ignore it. I see it, but I'm trying to ignore it. And they antagonize it. And they're doing things. And the other person is trying to like, okay, well, let me leave. We can go somewhere. I'm like, and that person like just more and more antagonizing. And then eventually they give in and just go all in. And every time in my dream, it makes me explode. I get angry. And I literally went to one of the people. I grabbed them by the neck and was like, get your stuff. Get out of here right now. Like I screamed. It wasn't that nice. It was the flesh. It was definitely the flesh. And I woke up like heart pounding. And I was just like, Lord, why am I still having this dream? I've had it since I was a kid. And I was like, I can't get it out. And it just always periodically comes. And when I was, I just decided to pray. And I got up, started getting dressed early and ironing my clothes. And the Lord all of a sudden just like rewinded it in my head. Like it was like almost like a, not like a trance, but like almost like a flashback. But I'm up. This time I'm looking, and this time it felt like Christ was me. And I sat there and watched Christ do the same thing. The person was antagonizing, and Christ was watching. And he'll go back to doing his writing, going back to doing what he was doing. Other person, they were antagonizing me. He was doing the same thing. But this time he got up, grabbed the person by the neck, not forcefully, just grabbed them by the neck and said, I love you and I forgive you. And I was just like, he says, this is what it's like when I watch my children sin against me, because I'm always there. I'm right there with you. When you deal with these things, or when you walk away from the path that I have you on, or when you stray and you do your own thing, I'm right there. And it's like you are antagonizing me. But I want to let you know that I love you still. There is nothing that you can do that can escape my love. And he says, I want my people to know that. And it floored me, because all I could do was just thank God. Like I literally just started praising God. Like, oh my gosh, you just showed me who you are even more. You just showed me your love even more in my life. So Miss Michelle said that she said, she made a statement. She said, I used to be ashamed to say my son's in prison, but that was the very thing that saved Izzy's life. He made these same mistakes. And I talk to him all the time. He said, I made these mistakes, but he said, man, I thank God for it. All the mistakes in my life, I got to thank God for it. Every falling that I've ever had, it was for a purpose to get me to this level of faith. And he still has more steps for me to go to. And I'm like, Lord, I didn't see it. You just building this trust inside of my life. And you're taking me to these spiritual depths that I don't even understand. But it's okay. I just want to float in you. I just want to lay down in you, Lord God, right now, because you're doing stuff that I can't even see. You know, Izzy said this the other day. He said that God is blessing me so much with my right hand that I don't even know what he's doing with my left, with his left. And I'm sitting there like, Izzy, you don't know how powerful that was. I was just like, Izzy, oh my gosh. Because I'm like, when the more I'm thinking about it, I'm like, I think I know God. I really thought, I was telling pastors, I thought I knew his love. I thought I knew his mercy. But what he just revealed into me is like, I'm taking all of it. You said you gave it all, but you didn't. And oh my gosh, I'm telling you, it just is like, it's ripping my soul apart. And it's a good, it feels so good. It feels so good. And it's like, it's a burning. It's a burning, but it's not the burn that we think about when we think of fire. It's a rejuvenating burn. It's a rejuvenating fire that he's like, I'm changing your faith into something that pleases me. He says, see that place that you thought you were, you thought you knew, you thought you was in the right place. You thought you was high. You thought you was on the mountaintop, but I was like, I went over that mountain. I see other mountains, and I'm like, Lord God, take me there, because I want to get close to you. And I'm like, look, the Lord is like, you don't have to worry. I'm gonna pull you along. I'm gonna pull you along. It's not even like he don't want me to work. Like it's hard to explain, but he's like, stop working. Stop trying so hard. You're only getting yourself in a deeper hole. It's almost like quicksand. I'm just digging myself deeper, trying to get out. I'm like, Lord, I'm tired of being in this place. Lord, like, no, stop. I'm going to get you out. And he is like, it's almost hard to stop, but I'm going to stop. But I'm just letting you know that it's an outpouring of authority and worship and faith and belief that is pouring into this house and is reaching our family members. And his love has embraced us so much. And we don't have to necessarily see. And I'm going to say this last thing is that Moses, he didn't actually have to go into the physical promised land because he experienced the spiritual promised land through Christ. And that's what we have, is that we have a spiritual promised land. We don't actually have to walk in the Garden of Eden. We don't have to do those things because it is living in us. The tree of life is now in us through Christ. When we live in him, we grow. We eat of it daily. The Spirit of God is giving it to us daily, and we just have to accept it. And I just say, bless the Lord with all my soul, and glory to his holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.
What kind of house do we have here? Look, it's a delight to get buried. Look, bury me, Lord. If it's going to have those kind of outcomes, bury me so that I can walk in this real spiritual life that has escaped us for so long. Tony shared one thing with me that he didn't share up here, and Tony, I'm going to try to say it real quickly, what you said. When he said that when you went back and had to rewind, that you were outside of it, watching it happen, watching yourself and watching the people who he was mad at, and the Lord not only walked over and said, I love you, the Lord kissed them. Is what he told me yesterday or Friday. There's no fault that we can have that he won't kiss us. If he kissed Judas, why wouldn't he kiss you? And he betrayed him to the hilt, but he kissed him. So stop trying to do better. Take his kiss and grow. His kisses make you grow. This is the exact opposite of what we think in ourselves. You know, we want to do right and please him that way. You can't please him that way. You please by letting him kiss you and letting him live his life through you, because you can't accomplish it on your own anyway. Your righteousness is like filthy rag. It's God giving this man his dream like that. You hear what he said? I thought I was spiritual. I thought I had gotten somewhere. I didn't know about his kisses, though. I didn't know the true meaning of forgiveness. I had the human meaning of forgiveness, but I didn't have the spiritual meaning of forgiveness. See, true forgiveness is when I forgive you and kiss you, something inside of me goes off and said that makes me love more. So I don't strain to try not to do it anymore. The kiss has power in it to keep me from it. Do we have a relationship, really? God's expanding us, right? He's expanding us. And we're starting to know what new creatures are. You know, Izzy gets a hold of him in prison. Now he can preach to Nana. Yes. Nana, have you heard this? Have you read that? This kind of love just inundates you. You don't have to go trying. It has a life of its own. It has a life of its own. It has a virtue of its own. We keep trying to manufacture it, and we can't. It has a virtue of its own. And like Tony, I love it. You know, it burns, but not like with fire. It starts to consume you, but it's not like a natural consumption. It's something that you can't get enough of this life that starts to flow through you. And that's what spreads. That's what gets contagious. Spiritual stuff, sir. Let's let go of the natural. Let's find him in the spirit. You know, Pastor Ross is playing in the spirit this morning. Y'all hear that? It's playing in the spirit. I don't even know if they rehearsed it or not. I don't care. They're playing in the spirit. Let's just learn how to stay there. Pastor Mike didn't know he was going to say what he said this morning. Get up in the spirit. Let this life get a hold of us. Amen. Do you want to close in prayer for me?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We have so much to give God thanksgiving for. My son said to me, he said, Mom, I'm thanking God for the little things now, you know. And he said, I'm thanking him every day for the little things. And he said, and every time God make me sow out of a sacrifice, sow in sacrifice, he said, I said, okay, God, your turn, you know. But we don't have to wait for God's turn if we're depending on him all the time. We got to get to the point where we're depending on God all the time. We got to lean on him all the time. You know, God started dealing with me about the teaching Robert and Rainey was doing. Don't waste your sorrows. And, you know, sometimes I have my moments, you know, with the physical challenges. And the Lord will tell me, that's not why you're going through this. And I told my kids one time, I said, one day I wasn't feeling well. I'm gonna close. One day I wasn't feeling well, and I just went off on Joshua and Derek. I mean, I just snapped. I mean, from a matter of a second, I was from 0 to 100. And so the Lord told me to go outside, go for a walk. And I went outside and I sat under the tree. And then the Lord just sent us. It was a hot day. And the Lord just sent this glorious breeze. And I knew it was God. I knew it was the Spirit of God. And he said, you see the way I'm blowing over you, gently blowing over you, gently hovering over you. He said, that's how you have to be. Sweet and gentle. Sweet and gentle. And I said, okay, God. But I started complaining. I said, but Lord, I don't feel good today. I'm in pain. And the Lord said, I was in pain. I was in pain. You know, the Lord was telling me, that's not an excuse. And the Lord began to teach me how to be happy no matter how I felt, how to give back the joy no matter how I felt. And my 51st birthday was spent in the hospital, but I woke up in joy. You know, I had pizza for my birthday, my 51st birthday. But I had joy. God gave me joy about it. And for some reason, he let me meet this old white man. Caucasian. And the man said to me, he asked me how old I was. Because he said, you look like a baby. And I said, I just turned 51 today. And he said, oh, you are a baby. And I said, oh, yeah, 51 is a baby. He said, yeah, your life is just starting. You know, he said, at 50, he said, you're beginning again. You're just starting to live your life. He said, you are just starting to live your life. And I thank God for that. And I thank God for the house, for this house, this place. And I want to say something. When Tony was ministering about the timing of God, for a minute, God gave me a vision of a clock, but it was laid like this. And the two arrows on the clock was just spinning. And he showed me the people of God on the clock, just running, trying to catch up with time, just running. But that's not our responsibility to catch up with time. It's God's responsibility.
Because we're not living in time. We're living in eternity right now.
Thank you for giving me the revelation of that. Oh, hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we lean on you. We depend on you. And we love you, oh God. And we thank you for caring for us all day, every day. Thank you for caring for us. And we thank you, Father, for the kingdom. We thank you for your revelation. We thank you for the authority of the tangible. And we thank you, oh God, for your mercy and your grace over our lives every day, over our families' lives, oh God, and over this house, oh God. And Father, we thank you for the leaders and the pastors that you have put over this house, oh God, that are following hard after you, oh God, chasing hard after you. And Father, we thank you for that. And we thank you, oh God, that you will bless us, oh God, to have a glorious day, a beautiful week. We will enjoy our work week. We will say thanksgiving in our work week, oh God. And we bless your wonderful name, oh God. Amen.